Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Now, here Philip comes to Jesus, and he asks Jesus to see the Father. He said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Read the next statement with me. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now notice what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. From the very beginning, when God created man, in Genesis 1:26, we see that God created man in his own image. That God took the nature and the character of himself, and he created that in a man. Genesis 1:26, we were created in the image of God. So God's plan for man from the very beginning was to represent who God is in the earth. That's the call of mankind. That was the purpose that God had for man, that we be image bearers, that we be image bearers of God. We were created in the image of God. We are humans that have the capacity to take on what we see, to walk in the image of the thing that's been presented. Jesus here, as the perfect model of this, the perfect son, says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Colossians 1:15 tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So when we see Jesus, we see a picture of his Father. Now, I think all of us to a degree can relate to this, because either in our own lives or in someone we know, we've seen the character of an individual and say, man, that boy is just like his daddy. Or man, she is just like her mama. Have you ever made that kind of statement? Just say amen. If you've ever tagged somebody with, man, they're just like their mama, they're just like their daddy. And we've talked a lot about how this generational cycle of behavior is real. And so Jesus said here, I am a picture. I have come in the image of my Father. Come over with me to John chapter number 5. So we have to recognize as parents that our children's nature is to imitate. We would love as parents to be able to say, do as I say, not as I do. But that's not realistic, because it's in the nature of a child to duplicate an image, not necessarily a word. In other words, your child is more likely to end up living as they saw you live and doing what they've seen you do versus just doing what you told them to do. Even if you said, take it from me, I did all this wrong, do it this way, they are likely to live out the image that's been presented to them. Sad but true. Sobering but true. Now watch this here in John chapter number 5. When you get over there, say amen. And we'll look at it in verse number 19. Again, Jesus is our perfect model. He's our perfect picture of what it is we want to achieve, and it is his relationship with the Father that gives us this blueprint that we should seek in the lives of our own children. Watch this, John chapter 5, verse number 19. You there, say amen? Amen. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, beginning with the statement, the Son can do nothing. Let's read that out loud together. Ready? Read. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Notice Jesus is saying here, I'm walking in the image of my Father. What my Father does is what I do. Now, you know, when you look at this and what Jesus is saying here in bearing the image of his Father, recognize that I can't represent. I'm going to say represent in a different way. I can't represent, because that's what representing is. When you represent, you represent. I cannot represent what was never presented to me. So I can't walk in the image of the Father if the true image of the Father was never revealed to me. If Jesus had not seen the Father and known the Father, then he could not represent the Father. You know, I think sometimes we want our children to represent something that may have never been presented to them. Or you know, think about it this way. There's a walk that God's called us to live. There's a behavior that God's called us to conduct ourselves in. But how can I walk in the character of God, in the nature of God? How can I walk in truth? How can I walk in love? How can I walk in his wisdom? How can I walk in his faith if these things have never been presented to me? How can I represent what was never presented? So as parents, it's our responsibility not only to teach our children the truth, but to present his word, to present his kingdom, to present his love, his truth, his faith in his wisdom, so that I'm giving my child the opportunity to represent what has been presented to them. But I can't expect them to represent what was never presented. Let me say it to you another way. You might go to a gathering and your children act up. Well, you wouldn't admit to your children. You're at a gathering and somebody else's children are acting up. And so the parent of those children, they say to you, I don't know what's gotten into these kids, you know, acting like this, you know, here. And then, you know, the parent might say to the child, you better be on your best behavior. You better be on your best behavior. We're going to so-and-so's house. You better be on your best behavior. And then they get over to so-and-so's house and they completely misbehave. They may not be misbehaving. Even if they're standing on the coffee table. They may not be misbehaving. Because if that is the behavior in your home, then you could not expect anything else anywhere else. Now, if a child's been reared up right and they have the right home training, come on, somebody. Then now you have taught them right behavior that when they get in public, they know how to behave. But there's some folk that their children ain't been taught to behave nowhere. And then you act like when you're in public, you don't know where they're getting this. Oh, I'm sure they're worse than that at your house. Because when I was young coming up, this is what I would hear the folks say. They ain't got no home training. I mean, that's bad English, but that's just the way it was in Louisiana, you understand. They ain't got no home training. But how can I misbehave if I'm operating in the behavior that I have witnessed? See, how can your child be misbehaving if they're behaving like you? Oh, Lord. See, by nature, God has designed us to be image bearers, so we take on the image that is set before us. We represent the image that is set before us. So, you know, when as a parent, when you think about raising your child, you have to say, okay, I'm raising a parent because I'm depositing an image in them that they are going to inevitably reproduce. Come over with me to the book of Ephesians, and I want to go to the fifth chapter, Ephesians chapter 5. Let me just prove this to you in the Word, that children are imitators. Children are imitators. We have to use that to our advantage. Children are imitators. Tell your neighbor that. Children are imitators. We're raising a group of imitators. They imitate what's set before them. That's one of I got two main points that we're going to get into today, and that's number one, that children are imitators. So what are you giving them to imitate? And then there's a lot that comes with that. Watch this in Ephesians chapter 5. I don't know what chapter I told you, but chapter 5. Let's look at it in verse number 1. And this is a short, simple verse, but don't miss the power in the simplicity. Watch chapter 5, verse 1, Ephesians. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, that word followers literally translates imitators. That's literally what it means. It means imitators. So let me read it with the translation. Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. Now notice what the word is saying. It's saying imitate God. Imitate God. Imitate Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So I'm supposed to imitate the Father. But how can I imitate God? How can I imitate the Father if he's never been presented to me? That's why I've got to get in this word. That's why I gather together in the assembly. That's why I'm a part of the church. That's why I do Bible study. That's why we do devotions. That's why we, you know, we're in prayer. That's why we do small groups, life classes. You know, we're all about, Lord, I want to know who you are. Reveal yourself to me in your word, because you cannot represent what was never presented. I can't imitate God. I can't do what Jesus would do. Remember the old phrase, what would Jesus do? How can you do what Jesus would do if you don't know what Jesus would do? I mean, you can put the what would Jesus do bracelet on your arm, WWJD, what would Jesus do? But if you don't know Jesus, if you hadn't read the word of Jesus, if you don't know the truth of Jesus, then how can you truly do what Jesus would do? My point is, I can't imitate Christ. I can't be a true Christian. I can't live out my faith if that's never been presented to me. I have to know who he is. How do I come to know who he is? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. As I get in this Word, God reveals his character to me. He reveals his nature to me. That's why in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in Deuteronomy chapter 11, God tells parents, he says, parents, I want you to speak my word from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. He speaks of in Deuteronomy 6 and in 11 about waking up in the word, speaking the word throughout the day, every day, traveling along the way, sitting in your house, sharing the word of God. Why? Because it's the only way for me to know truth. It's the only way for me to know who this God is to search him out in his word. I can't represent what's never been presented. And so he says this. Now, this is so powerful, but it's simple, but I don't want you to miss it. Be ye therefore imitators of God. Now, watch that next statement. As dear children. What does he mean by that, as dear children? He is saying, you imitate God as children do. What do children do? They imitate. Children imitate. I was a little boy. I went in my bathroom, or mama's bathroom, and I found me a red towel. And mama had these big safety clips he used for like diapers or something. She had some big ones. And I got me one of them, and I put that red towel on my back, and I stuck it together, and I put that little that clip right there, that safety pin, and I put it together, and I knew I was Superman. And I got on my top bunk in my bedroom, and I jumped off, and landed quick, and it didn't fly at all. And I thought, man, this ain't working for me. And so I drug my mattress outside. I was a baby child, you understand? I drug a mattress outside and put it on beneath our carport. I got one of my daddy's ladders, and I climbed up on the edge of the roof, and I jumped off the roof on the mattress. I should have known I wasn't going to fly when I put the mattress on the ground. And I jumped off and hit that mattress and sprained my ankle, walked around 2 weeks with a sprained ankle, thinking I was Superman because of what I'd seen on television. Children are imitators. They imitate what they see. whatever image is presented, then that's what they live out. God created us that way. That's in our nature. See, it's in the nature of a man to represent what he's seen. Hallelujah. It's in our nature. You can't escape it. That's why I don't understand families that get on this, that take on this position of, I want to expose my child to the world. That way when they get older, they won't be shocked. I want to show them the perversion and what's out there. I want to get them familiar with it so I can have conversation with them about it. And then they're going to be able to walk away with it from it later. No. You don't understand that we were all born in sin and nobody needed any help making somebody a sinner. When a child misbehaves, you can correct that. But you can never make a child unsee what they've seen. You can't make anybody unsee what they've seen. Once you see perversion, you cannot unsee that perversion. Once you see something that is wicked and twisted and ungodly, that image is forever implanted in your mind. I don't need to be introducing anything to my child that they cannot unsee, because children are imitators and they take on the image that is set before them. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at this nature of being an imitator, and I feel like so many in the body of Christ are missing, you know, we're missing this advancement of God's kingdom because we don't have a true picture of who Jesus is. And because we don't have an accurate picture of who he is, we misrepresent him. The church has misrepresented Jesus. Religion has misrepresented Jesus. And you've got hurt people out there in the world that blame Jesus, but it was misrepresentation. They've not even known the real Jesus. There are many people that attend church and never see who Jesus is, because the church has made it about the preacher or the pastor or all the people sitting in the big seats up on the platform, or they made it about a bunch of stuff other than who Jesus is. Our role as the church is to represent who Jesus is, to share Jesus through the avenue of his word. We don't just make up a Jesus. No, we share the Jesus of the Bible. But how can I represent what was never presented? And parents, it's the same with your children. How are they going to represent what was never presented to them? Now, let's go over to Proverbs chapter number 20. Proverbs chapter number 20. And the Bible says here in Proverbs 20, verse number 11, even a child is known by his doings. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. So our children begin to take on the reputation, or a reputation, by the things that they do. But what's so sad in most cases is that this child and how they're acting is only a representation of what's been set in front of them. You know, when the Bible says that he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, God is saying that I lead you in righteousness, and it's for my name. So it's my name's sake. See, if you saw an animal that was malnourished, and you can count its ribs because it's not had any food, and it's dehydrated because it has no clean water to drink, you don't look at that animal and say, that pitiful, dumb animal. No, you look at the owner and say, man, what kind of man would go and get a dog that he know good and well he wasn't going to feed and give water, and you get aggravated by the owner because of the condition of the dog? Am I right about it? Do you realize it's the same way with a child that doesn't understand behavior? That is a reflection of the parent, not the child. Somebody says, that is a rebellious child. I've never seen a kid so misbehave. That's a mama. That's a daddy you're seeing right there. That's representation of what that child has been experiencing every day of its life. That child really can't even help it. In his mind, he's not even misbehaving because he's living out what's been said in front of him. Do you see how important this is? And in this consumer mindset world and society where parents are so caught up with themselves that they leave their children to themselves. And the Bible says that a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. Why? Because that child has to get on the internet to find an image. That child has to get on television to find an image. That child has to go out in, down the street and find an image because there's not being one presented by his parent or parents. Heavy, heavy word. Now, come over to chapter 22. So even a child is known by his doings. But I'm going to say this, that even a parent is known. See, we have to recognize that God gave parents the responsibility to disciple or to raise, teach, or educate their children. And that any person that I give oversight of my child to has to represent my convictions. Otherwise, I'm setting my child up to represent something that's not even of me. You say, man, I don't know where they're getting this. Oh, they're getting it from somewhere. But they're getting it from somewhere that you've allowed oversight. So you've allowed that opportunity. You've got to know who's babysitting your children. You got to know whose house they can go over and whose house they can't go over. Well, you too overbearing. You doggone right, I'm overbearing. These are my babies right here I'm talking about. I'm going to sure be overbearing. Listen, I'm going to do everything I can to set them up for success. I'm going to do everything I can to set them up. You know, listen, our children have a nature, and we have a nature. And according to the Word of God in Romans 5 and in 1 Corinthians 15, every one of us were born in a sinful nature. It's in us. Paul said in Romans 7 that even when I would do good, evil is still present with me. So we have this corrupt, sinful, bad nature that's in all of us. That's why we needed Jesus. Amen. But whichever nature, you know, when you became born again, your appetite changed. When you became born again, when you accepted Christ and received his spirit, now the things that you used to live in, he's delivered you from. But it doesn't mean there's no longer a temptation. It doesn't mean you're no longer acquainted with sin. You just know that there are certain people I can't hang around. There are certain places I can't go. I've got to feed my born again spirit. I've got to feed my new man. I can't be feeding this old sinful nature, because if I do, he's going to become too strong and I'm going to be like my old self. Right? Anybody here challenged with the two natures? You feed one, but you don't feed the other? Well, imagine now, here you are, born again and saved, and you know you've got to feed on the Word of God if you're going to build up your spirit walk and walk with God. You can't just put anything before your eyes and in your ears, or you're going to feed that old nature. And whichever nature you feed the most is going to become the strongest. Well, with our children, it's the same way. Anybody here ever gave their children sugar and regretted it? I mean, that's a way, you know, that grandparents get back at their kids, is they give their grandkids sugar and then drop them back off with their mama. Because if you're a parent, you know sugar does something to children. And you're like, they can't even help it. You gave them sugar and they're just going crazy. Skittles, man, don't ever give your child Skittles, especially the red and the yellow ones. They have demons. I mean, you give your child red and yellow Skittles, I mean, all of a sudden they start doing these crazy things. And you say, man, who gave him some sugar? It's the same way when it comes to our two natures. Are we feeding our children truth? Are we feeding them righteousness? Are we feeding them purity and love and faith, or are we feeding them things that are only going to strengthen the sin nature that's already in them?
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.